everybody, welcome back to Comedy Pinata. Again, we're normally at Zany's. There's some stuff going down. So we're in the offices across the street. Before I get into it, credit cards, student loans, mortgages, car loans, hospital bills. Do you know you have a lot of rights if any of these go to debt collectors? That's right. Consumers, not debt collectors, have a huge list of rules they have to abide by, and that's where the law firm SueTheCollector.com comes in. SueTheCollector.com is a national consumer law firm that only helps consumers. The lawyers at SueTheCollector have helped literally thousands of people turn the tables on debt collectors, put an end to illegal harassment, abuse, and repeated phone calls that many people find themselves subjected to through no fault of their own. The lawyers at SueTheCollector.com can help everybody in all 50 states, won millions for consumers over the years, and have canceled over $1 billion in debt. That's $1 billion. Right now, they really want to speak to anyone that's had their car repossessed. Did you know consumers do not have to allow repo men to take their cars
against their
will?
It's our first episode.
In most cases, you can actually legally refuse to let them take your car if you've ever objected to a car repo and they still got your car against your will. You may be sitting on a very valuable case. Don't say anything. Call Sue the Collector's Office right now, 1-877-BAD-REPO or 1-877-233-7376. Again, that's 1-877-BAD-REPO. 1-877-223-7376. They're over right now to take your call. That's 1-877-BAD-REPO. Here we are.
I could not do that. Do you realize how many? I could not. I would be like, go, it's a 2-minute sleep quiz. Go to Helix Mattress. I got one and I liked it. I could not be doing a fucking read in front of people. I'm so bad. I have to do when I we do. Fuck it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bert Kreischer is joining us today. The Machine, and of course, from Busting with the Boys, Will Compton, and our co-host Chance Willie. Bert, Compton, thank you. By the way, new father.
Hey.
Just
recovering
had a baby,
from having a newborn. Also recovering from 420 yesterday.
Oh my God. Okay.
I was up a little late last night.
So this is like 6 hours. This is what Kreischer calls a Monday from 3 to 4.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Let me tell you something. Did you do the thing when you had kids? You're like, I remember saying, my kids will never see me with a drink in my hand.
How long did that last?
Well, you get the kid and then you're like, well, and I remember the first thing Leanne said was, she can't really see. Cause I was like, she's not looking at me.
Is that why you do gummies
in
front of them?
Couldn't, she can't see like from 2 feet from her face. I go, oh, then I can find, I'll drink it until she can start seeing. Right. And then all of a sudden I'm like, can she see yet? She's like, she's 4. She's been seeing for a while. And I was like, oh.
What do you think children have like the vision of like a great white shark where they have
hold
black
cards up in front of your kids, see if they can call them out. They can't.
Bert. They can only see like black and white at first, right?
Bert. Yeah. It's like the OJ jury. They can only see black and white.
Well, before we get started, I do want to say that we met each other on the Jameson Whiskey Tour.
Oh, hey. God.
So I thought I got to get something for Kreischer to say congratulations on everything this last run. We worked together on this Jameson Whiskey Tour for years. I went 2 years without ever having a drop of whiskey.
Yeah.
And then after the tour is over, that's when I got into it. And I realized all the fun I was missing out on.
We had so much fun on that tour. That was probably like, that was my first experience of kind of what I'm doing now of like being with friends.
Right.
Because you never felt like you were working. Like when you're by yourself, I don't need to say this to everyone, but when you're by yourself on the road, it's like, and you don't know the feature and you don't know the host and you're in Des Moines and you do morning radio and the guy's a cunt to you and then you show up at the club and the feature's fucking good, but he wants to bury you and you're like, it's just local references, really big guy. And then, and then you just, it's depressing. But when I got on that Jameson tour, it was like the first experience of like, you're partying with your friends. I mean, everything was great. Ireland was my favorite, without a fucking doubt.
I couldn't keep up with, like, I was such a lightweight back then because I couldn't keep, I couldn't keep up with you now. I don't know how anybody,
keep up with me.
Yeah.
I was getting ready for my cardiologist, telling you about my cardiologist appointment. By the way, my cardiologist yesterday goes, so we already know we need to quit drinking. She goes, what I want you to do, I want you to go into the lobby of this office right now. I want you to look at those people. Every single one of them partied until we said they had to stop. And I looked at that lobby and it was so sad. And I was like, oh my God. She goes, maybe when you get done your show tomorrow night, when you get off stage, instead of having a drink, do some yoga. I go, who the fuck do you think I am? What do you think? I'm going to be in the corner doing downward dog? And I was like, he's trying to quit drinking.
Well, I'm sorry, Bert. But this is I wanted to bring up one thing. You know, the minute I thought about doing the show with you, this is a perfect example who this guy is. And so when I'm sure, Will, in your industry, there's people you're happy when they have a great season, clocking, you know, hitting bonuses and stuff. Kreischer, obviously, lightning in a bottle right now. And the one thing I remember from the Jameson tour that I just springs to mind every time I think of you is this guy would, whoever the waitress was that was bringing him a drink, whatever. Guys, do you know that it's, what was your name again? Kelly. It's Kelly's birthday tonight. Do you guys know it's Kelly's birthday tonight? It's not Kelly's birthday. He'd get the whole place to tip Kelly. And it was one of those things where you'd get like buckets or like things people would shove dollar bills in. And this girl, it became part of his act. And whoever the waitress was or wait staff member was now going home with $300, $400, $500 sometimes. And it was like, that's something like most comics just don't do. So they don't take time out of their act to do something really sweet and wonderful for somebody else.
It got aggressive though. Towards the end, they were like, "Hey, you're doing the thing, right?" And you'd be like, "Show up at a club," and I'm like, "What?" Like, "Wait, Steph Raffle, you're doing it, right?" And I was like, "Okay."
It turned into the raffle.
Yeah, it turned into the way this Wait Staff Raffle. Right? Where I'd collect all the money, and then we'd pull a name out of the hat, and then one person would walk away with like $1,500, one of the wait staff. And then towards the end, it got really kind of, I hate to say this, but a little gross, because they were like, "Do the fucking raffle. You're doing the fucking raffle." And I was like, I got it. They're like, "And we're splitting it. So, but we're going to send her up. She's got a good sob story." And I was like, became a work. And I was like, okay.
It wasn't fun anymore.
It was really fun at the beginning. The first girl that won. The first girl that won got emotional. And I said, "What are you getting emotional for?" And she said, "I'm pregnant and I can buy the expensive car seat now." And everyone's like, "Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God." And then everyone just starts giving her extra money. I told this on Segura, so I'm not going to cry. We both started crying on Two Bears the other day.
Pussies.
But I did one. It was a black dude that won. His name was Kevin. Black dudes are always stoic. And they're like, "Yeah, you know, like not, you don't, you always want to like a white chick to win because they cry and it makes it worthwhile." Black dude comes up on stage and starts crying. What? Yeah. Yeah. But did that come out wrong?
No.
I'm just being real.
For comedy. Not for comedy.
No, but
pretty awesome.
When a black dude won, his instinct is just, he didn't want to show emotion to an audience.
Right.
And this dude comes up crying, which is, no one is reading. And I'm like, "You okay?" And he tries to hold it together. And he's like, and he says, "It's fucking just..." By the way, he has $937 in the pot right now.
And the trying to hold it together is the worst.
And he's like, and I was like, "You okay?" And he goes, "Next week's my daughter's 13th birthday." And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "I didn't have money to throw her a party. Now I get to be the dad she thinks I am."
Woo!
Dude, I'm talking waterworks. The whole crowd starts crying and dudes just start walking up with $100. "Here you go. Get your daughter something nice."
Right.
This dude, and then we go to Pittsburgh, right? Pete, this is Pete's fucking hometown. We go to Pittsburgh, do the waitstaff raffle. Guy comes up and he starts crying. He goes, "My wife has brain cancer, and it's been hard taking care of the kids." And everyone's like, "Holy shit!" They start sobbing, and he goes, No. You keep your money. I don't need it." And they start walking up.
Oh,
the guy walks with $2,500. I get done. The guy comes into my green room. He goes, "I just want to thank you." I said, "Don't mention it." And he goes, "Do you think I could be an actor?" And I went, "What?"
Oh,
and he goes, "Yeah, I'm not even fucking married."
Yeah.
And I go, "What?" And he goes, "Do you want some of this money?" I was like, "No.
Do you want
God. Oh, my God.
Where do your jokes come from?"
He was like, and I was like, "Oh my God." And he was like, "Yeah, it's pretty good. Hey man, call my name again. I'll make more money." And I was like, "Oh yeah,
Christ."
But yeah, thank you, Steve. Thank you for the compliment. I appreciate it.
No, please, of course. And Will, I mean, in your industry, are you...
Yeah, what are you doing for poor people?
Like when you meet somebody that plays for the USFL, you're like, "Here, take $100 on me." Or, but in your industry, is crying, getting emotional, like when you're winning, when you win a big game, that's kind of expected, I guess, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, you there might be leeway, a couple guys who cry. Like Debo Samuel was on the bench last year after they lost in the playoffs and he was crying. You just talking about dudes who cry? We just talking about getting vulnerable and crying?
Yeah. Let's all cry today.
Please, dude, it's been a long week.
I've been in therapy. I've shed a few tears in therapy. But you're just talking like...
In your profession, I assume, like, people are just crying and like getting cut in preseason and all that stuff. It's just like, is that something that's just kind of like,
oh my God, how good would that be on Hard Knocks? It's like, coach wants to talk to you, and the dude just starts crying. No.
Yeah, you don't see it like that. If you see dudes cry, it's over, like, you know, winning a huge game, or maybe a guy like breaking a record or something.
Yeah,
like
a big loss
in the playoffs,
and somebody's just like sad about it.
So nobody, you don't have anybody that brings somebody on stage and lies about having cancer.
No, we don't have that.
And knows that he did that. He's an accomplice with that.
No, we just, you know,
could you legally be held responsible for that, Bert?
I wish. that guy fucking killed him. It was Pittsburgh of all place, and you know what he did? He brought me up on stage on the next show. What's the 412?
Yeah.
Area code shirt. And he goes, this is for Hayes still crying on the next show. And I'm like, fucking turn it off. Wait. What? Here's what I'm always curious about. What percentages of the dudes on the team cheat on their wives?
Oh, Jesus.
Because you remember when, I'm saying this, I'm wearing a fucking Lakers jersey. Do you remember when Kobe got caught? And then Kobe was like, Shaq fucks everybody. Do you remember when he did that? Yeah. And Shaq's like, what the fuck? He's like, he bought her a Pontiac. Yeah. And Shaq was like, dude.
Yeah, what the fuck, Kobe?
Yeah.
Do you remember when we were on the Jameson tour? Our manager at the time, Judy Brown, she's in the front seat. This is the second week, and we're going somewhere. And you just start talking. You go, Judy, how much do you make a year? And she's like, Bert, will you not ask me anything but that? And
I know now. I know now.
What do you? Well, a lot more because of you. Now you should ask her. You should fucking ask her.
I know. Right,
what percentage? What percentage?
Man, I would say a fair amount. But one thing that...
Is it 60-40?
You're trying to get a number out of me. Yeah.
You guys know stats. 64. I'm Asian. I have to. 60-40.
Will's
70,
not a stats
30.
Guy. Yeah, yeah.
Man, if I had to get, like, if I was a betting man, I would bet.
Oh, no.
BetDSI.com.
This ain't going to be good.
I would bet north of 50%.
Oh.
50? Okay.
Really? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's, okay.
But here's the thing. Like, one thing that, like, the locker room will be caught up talking about, too, is like, yo, how often do you think baseball players do it? Because baseball players on the road the entire
right?
year.
Yeah.
And think if you're like a pitcher. Like, think if we're like the start, like four of the five pitchers.
Right,
you
right.
Go four, one five day, days we're, off. Yeah. We're getting drunk hanging out in the city.
Yeah. That's right.
And then,
yeah.
You know, Bert goes, I go. But everybody, like, if you're a pitcher, dude, on the road,
yeah.
You've got to have something in.
And baseball players more than like NBA players can just walk around like low profile.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
We've all seen For the Love of the Game.
That's interesting.
We've all seen Kevin Costner.
Because you guys were just gone. Like, you guys probably fly Saturday.
You fly Saturday and you're back Sunday.
You're back Sunday.
We're trying to figure out how we cheat on our wives.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but right. Logistically, yeah. You could do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fucking
crazy. How many close calls have you had where chicks tried to? I have the best. I have the best. Not cheating on my wife's story ever. How many close calls you have were like, someone was trying to fuck you and you had to be like, I'm sorry, I don't cheat on my wife.
I've had close calls and then I come home Sunday and my wife's like, geez, will you just help out? I'm like, hold on, you want me to take out the fuck? You want to see what I walked away from?
Yeah.
You want to see what the fuck I didn't do?
Yeah.
You take out the fucking trash.
I had a chick on Cowhead's Cruise. Ready?
This she is the take best. Out the trash?
I took out the trash. And furiously jerked off to the picture.
Like, meet me by the trash can. Where's that clown makeup?
So what happened, dude?
You better have those fucking clown shoes on when I...
So I was on the Cowhead Cruise, right? Our buddy Cowhead, Mike Calta. And it's our first night, and there's this... I mean, so my type is blonde hair... Big tits, looks like a stripper and probably is a stripper. Tatted sleeve.
Bert, that's like everybody's type.
Yeah, it's everybody's type. Yeah, like, yeah. What am I saying?
Raspy, you know
what
voice.
I mean. Got a dick on her. Anyway, you know, my type.
Two assholes.
Six toes.
Lazy eye.
She's a burn victim. A burn victim, I tell you.
She's got one of those horns growing out of the side of her head.
She's from Chernobyl.
She's beautiful. And we're all talking and she's flirting with me and Cowhead sees it and she says, he says something to the effect of Bert's married. She goes, not tonight he isn't. And everyone laughs and I was like, tonight I am. She goes, no. She goes, tonight I'm fucking you. And in front of everyone. In front of everyone. And everyone's like, oh, shit. And
I was like, now you got witnesses.
Well, now it's like, now I definitely can't fuck her. Yeah, I was like, honey, if you wanted this to happen, just shut your fucking mouth. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no.
Fucking
God,
don't
damn.
Keep it on the DL, woman. Don't you know?
Yeah.
Now I gotta kill you. Yeah. So we're on a cruise ship. I throw her off the fucking second balcony.
Now Dave Williams has to put her into the smoker.
Now I gotta go to Home Depot at 3 a.m.
Cut to the end of the night. I leave and she says, I'm going back to his room with him, and everyone starts laughing. We get to the elevator, and I say to her, hey, listen, I really appreciate it. I feel great about the whole flirting thing, but I really am married. She goes, I really am fucking you tonight.
Oh.
And I said, wait, this is just a bit. I was thought you were, like, I was like.
No, honey, I fucked her as a bit.
Yeah. I was like, everyone wanted me to.
I was riffing.
Right, wasn't it funny? It's funny, right?
She gets in the elevator with me. Elevator door closes, and I said, hey, for real, I'm actually just going to bed. And she goes, for real? I'm going to your room with you tonight. And I'm like, no one's
for
around.
For real, you're going to end up on Dateline.
Yeah. So I go, I'm married. And she goes, okay, we'll see about that. And so we go to my door.
No, this is,
and I say, hey, listen, this is over. Like, I'm going to bed. And she goes, here's the deal. Go to your room. I'm going to be standing out here. And when you open that door, no one will say anything. I will come in and I will suck your dick. And then we'll fuck. And then I won't say a word to anyone. And I went, okay. And she goes, so go in, make yourself a drink, and I'll be standing right here. Just open that door and it'll happen. I go in my room. I go into my room. I shut the door. I grab a drink and I sit crisscross applesauce at the door and look at the shadow of her feet. Just going like, go away, go away, go away.
Like she's the Babadook.
I'm just like, go away, go away. I woke up the next morning on the floor next to the door. I opened it. I was like, she's gone.
All right, let's get into this.
Oh,
let's,
yeah, I forgot we had a
dick switch. We got a speed round. I fit through this shit. God damn it, Bert. Okay. First
it's
clip.
Like an Edgar Allan Poe story.
Go away.
The telltale whore.
Bert was haunted by a
the
blonde Korean water ghost.
The telltale whore is fucking perfect.
Oh, okay. Here's
hey,
our first
what percentage
clip.
Of comedians?
What percentage of comedians?
Oh,
that's
80?
A good question.
Yeah.
It is rare
that's
to see a comic that doesn't cheat on his wife.
Yeah.
It's very rare. Very rare.
Damn.
Very sad, fucking rare.
That's real sad, Steve.
Very rare.
I'm the guy.
It's so rare that when I said to Steve, "What have you ever had a close call?" I went, "Oh fuck, did I just fuck up his marriage?"
Yeah,
he's like, "Well, Bert, actually, we've been talking about this."
Yeah.
No, I dodged some bullets for sure.
I dodged some bullets.
I'm like Wyatt Earp at the end of the movie when he's shooting in the fucking ravine.
Steve and I, are like Pulp Fiction, and though I walk through the valley.
I'm like the first guy in Django, just like, poof, I get blown through the fucking door.
All right, our first clip. Bobby Lee.
Hey.
Not a fan. A lot of smoke and mirrors with this guy, but let's watch it anyway.
Smoke and mirrors. Here's some headsets.
Already
Bobby Lee
the
is, oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, this is young Mexican Bobby Lee.
Oh, Filipino.
This is, I opened up for
Carlos
Bobby Lee.
Oh, no shit.
So you're just going to say, hey, everybody, come on. Houston, you guys ready to see our first dancer, Yellow Rope? However.
Houston, let's go. Let's hear it for Yellow Rope.
That's great. Now listen. Sound.
Is he featuring?
All right, he's going to announce that music's going to play. You got a song? I should have told you what song, but you got one? He's going to play some bullshit. Watch. Come on, guys. You guys ready to see this? Come on, everybody.
Let's go, Yellow Rose. Yellow Rose.
Woo! I know where this is going. Oh my God.
Oh. Bobby.
Tulsa.
Yeah! Bobby!
How does he have a manager? How does he? Oh, Bobby. No, Bobby! When he puts his hand up like that, he should say, I don't write. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, Bobby, how do you write your material?
You know where I think he started doing this? Do you remember my second hour special? I asked you to come down to be Romeo Horsecock on Sausage Party.
Yeah.
Something came up. You couldn't do it. Bobby filled in. He did it. He came out, and then he was in his underwear, and after that, he started doing this shit.
No way.
Yeah.
That was, by the way, the most fun we ever had. At the end of Jameson, I would be on stage. Steve would come out, and we would do Sausage Party. Steve would bring people on, and we'd name people.
Romeo Horsecock. My favorite that you...
Romeo Horsecock.
I still use to this day.
Romeo Horsecock. I was.
Oh, Prison Fuck Toy.
Prison Fuck Toy. It's a classic, PFT, yeah.
Prison Fuck Toy. Vaginal blood fart, was that one?
I think he dropped that one. Yeah, I don't know.
We had all these names that we would call them, and then vaginal blood. And it would murder. I mean, it would bring the fucking house down. And then you were doing your special, and you were like, "Hey, can you do it?" I think I was on the road, and you had Bobby do it. I remember being jealous because Bobby fucking murdered, and I was like, I couldn't have done that well. I couldn't. Bobby's
yes,
just
you could because. Yeah. Because what always made me laugh when you knew the shit was Bert would come out in cowboy boots.
And oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's one thing to be barefoot in your underwear, but to have cowboy boots on and underwear.
I wore a great pair of fry boots.
That's a good flair.
You've lived like 10 lives.
And I could do donkey kicks. You remember I could do donkey kicks?
Oh, yeah.
I was in shape then. I could do donkey kicks. So I'd pop down on my feet and then hands and kick my feet up. I mean, I almost killed a grandma one time. We had her up against the wall, and I was donkey kicking, and Steve's like, "Woo!" I was getting really, really close to her head.
I'm just sitting there going, "Don't die, lady. Don't turn it down. Turn it down."
Bobby Lee did this on the goddamn Comedy Jam for Comedy Central, and so we all did this comedy show, goddamn Comedy Jam, and he was on the episode with Tiffany Haddish. My wife and Tiffany Haddish's grandmother worked together. My wife knew Tiffany Haddish's grandmother very well. I think she just passed, but she knew her very well. And so she knew Tiffany very well. My wife did before Tiffany blew up. So Tiffany's on, she's doing Rolling Like a River. And so we watch it. This is before school. My girls are in like fifth grade and third grade, maybe. I'm guessing. And we're all sitting in the thing before they go to school to watch Tiffany, and my wife is crying watching Tiffany. It's Tiffany was so good. The next one's Bobby Lee. And I go, oh, Bobby's really funny. I actually saved this clip on my Nest Cam because it was so funny. Bobby comes out and literally shows his dick. And my daughters are fifth grade and third grade. Yeah. And I am crying laughing. Yeah. And my daughters are like, what is this? What is this?
Because they can't see.
I'm on the floor rolling around going, it's his dick. And my wife's going, how do I turn this off?
You're the universal remote. Like,
Nest Cam and I sent it to Bobby. I go, dude, you started my day perfectly. There's a power in having a small dick and showing it to people.
Oh, yeah.
There's a real power.
Well, Ken Jeong's been working for 20 years because of it.
Dude.
He said Asians back another 3.5 inches the minute he jumps out of that trunk.
When Ken Jeong,
I'm saying. I feel like it's a bit that, you know, it's a tale as old as time, right?
Wait. No, I love this. That Genghis Khan is one son of a bitch. Needle dick. I think he's doing this all because of his dick.
Every generation, there's some Asian that's confident enough to run around like this and show their dick off.
It's a tale as old as time.
It's a tale as old as time.
Well, I'll tell you, do you remember the first time my wife comes on the road with me? First time
There's so much to this story.
We're in Milwaukee. Hold on. We're in Milwaukee, okay? We're at that comedy cafe, the one that was like all mobbed out. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you are indulging, as we always do, right?
Yeah.
This is my wife's first time on the road with me. I just met her, and I'm really into her, okay? So the show finishes. We're in the showroom. Her little sister comes because she's going to school there. She's freshman in, she's 18, right? Mm. We're sitting there. The door comes open. Kreischer, cowboy hat, cowboy boots, butt naked. And my wife looks at me and she goes, yeah. Her little sister's like, gah, the jaw drops
18,
down.
18. Keep it going.
And then my wife looks at me and she goes, is it always like this? I go, with him it is, yes.
Yeah. My favorite story is his wife comes out. We go to Minneapolis like 2 weeks after, and her family's from Minneapolis.
Dude, that was the best night.
And they come out to meet Steve. And Steve says to me, hey, man, we're sitting in the back by the green room. And he goes, hey, can you hang out? I don't know them. I'm meeting for the first time. And I know that if you're here, you'll talk. And at least it'll be like a rodeo clown. Like, you'll talk, and then I don't have to worry. I don't have stress. I go, sure. And as they're walking up, I go, do they know you're Asian? And he goes, what? And I go, do they know you're Asian? Or, like, are they... Do they think you're white? Because your name's Steve Byrne. Are they going to look at me and be like, hey, nice to meet you? And he goes, motherfucker. And as they walk up, he just taps somebody and goes, my name's Steve Byrne. Those were fucking...
But that night, this guy, he turned the whole bar into a carnival.
Yeah, dude, that was the funnest.
That was...
Man,
I have so many pictures from that.
Because back in the day, I don't even know how comedy works anymore. But like back in the day... If you could get people to stay at the and drink at the bar, you could make the club another 10 grand, and all of a sudden you were valuable to the club.
You
could do your show, great. If they drank at the show, great. But if you kept them at the bar for another 2 hours,
but that was your thing. Time, like, yeah, Bert would hit bonuses, but he'd always get booked because the club owners love Bert because their alcohol sales would go through the fucking roof.
Through the fucking roof. I remember in Philly, we couldn't start the show on Saturday night because they were out of alcohol. They were like, we're waiting for our people to show up. And I was like, are you being serious? And he's like, we can't start the show. We have no beer. All we have is schnapps. And I'm like, okay. So we had to post the show an hour back. People were waiting for their drinks. No one had beer. That was my thing. In Tampa, they drank them.
Because
we would go. I remember Joe Flacco came to that show. And I got Joe Flacco behind the bar. I was like, you're the bartender. We're going to fucking move a ton of booze. And Joe Flacco's behind the bar. What do you guys want? They're like, it's a Super Bowl champion, Joe Flacco. I mean, we would drink these clubs out of booze, and then they'd be like, well, you got to bring Bert back. And then you can negotiate a higher price because you're like, by the way, I'm not to get too into the weeds, but like, then you start going into these fucking big venues and you go, hey, man, I want a cut of the fucking alcohol. And that's where you make real money. Shit, you get the Kid Rock deal where you go, yeah, I know that. I want, what are our bar sales? So then me and Steve, I would set up gambling events. I'd go, we get to the end of the show, do the dance. Oh. Everyone, you have a good time. Me and Steve are going to be drinking at the bar. Everyone else was a bore to drink with on that tour. Except for Billy. We had a week of him drinking. Well. And so, and then he went sober. And so we're like, we're going to be at the bar. We're going to be partying. And if anyone likes a game of chance... Steve and I have created a game of chance.
Bert created a game of chance, and I was there to facilitate this game of chance. By the way, remember this one?
Dude!
Hold on. What?
You can find this online. So we're in Chicago. By the way, these are working like gangbusters. You're talking about 300 people in a bar drinking like crazy, and everyone's gambling. It was $5 buy-ins for usually $5 buy-ins, $1 rebuys, right? So... all of a sudden, the pot's at like $700, and dudes are like legit putting in a dollar to win $700. So we go to Chicago. I just bought a video camera, had a microphone. I flip the microphone around so that Steve's videotaping, but he's commentating. And I say to everyone, we're gonna do the Iron Cross out there with pints of beer. Hold pints of beer out like this. First one, last one standing, gets the pot. $20 buy-ins. We have about 40 dudes buy in.
Yeah.
We've got a huge fucking pot. And it's on. And it lasted. I'm not even joking.
Thinking we're going to run out of battery. Because I'm like, this is going on so long. But Christ, God.
15 minutes later, it's me and this dude. And the whole bar is cheering for this dude. And he is trembling. And I am fucking... I'm like, you can't fucking beat me. And Steve's commentating the whole thing. The whole bar is around. You can't fucking beat me. Fucking, he drops. I look at Steve. I keep him up. I go, I'm the fucking machine. Kill one beer. Kill the other beer. What the kids didn't know is the only exercise I did were these.
The butterflies.
The only thing I ever did. Front row, side row, and turn out. That's all I ever did.
Pound dumbbell, yeah.
Dude.
2.5.
We would, and these bars would be I remember they and the managers were like, dude, this is amazing.
The greatest.
It was, and I would do that everywhere I went because it was, I remember Dave Attell, I did The Laugh Stop, and Dave goes, how was your weekend? And I was, it was the first time I felt like a real comic. I said, good. And he goes, I said, I had good sets. And he goes, how are your bar sales? And I went, what do you mean? And he goes, let me tell you something, Bert. You can't always trust that the club manager is going to have a good taste in comedy. What you can trust is at the end of the week, he's going to look at his bar sales. And if they're higher than other people, you're coming back. And I went, I took that and put
ran
it. I put it above my bed, above my banner. I was like, they will be drinking.
Holy shit.
I would. I remember I went to Miami and the Zoe Pound, which was a Haitian gang, came out and they brought. I had met them on radio.
Can you just bookmark this 1 second before we go on the Jameson tour? They sent us a case of Jameson, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is 2 weeks before the very first. We get in the van, we're going to the first show, and I was like, "How cool is that?" They sent us a case. I was like, and Gardell's like, "Have you opened it?" I haven't touched one. Kreischer gets on, he goes, "Anybody else finished their case of Jameson yet?" I was like, "What the fuck?"
Anybody else finished their case?
I finished it the first week we got it. I was done with it, and I was like, "Do we get them every week?" And they're like.
Yeah. So go back to your
story.
I'm sorry.
The next town.
I had Miami was a rough town for me because it was a fucking, it's a chaos room. This would have murdered Miami.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I was bombing so hard. Steve Trevino was opening for me, and I was bombing so hard that on my early show Saturday, I just go, fuck it. I go, I don't feel like you guys all speak English. I was like, I feel like I'm talking to people that don't understand what I'm actually saying. And I said, sir, can you come up here and translate? And I brought this Cuban guy up. And I go, and black dude, can you come up here and translate? I go, these are, like, I'm saying good jokes, and no one's understanding them. So I'll say them, and then you translate them to your people, and then we're going to have a good time. I said, so I was talking to this woman, and this Cuban guy goes, the black guy goes, man, can a play get some conversation? And the fucking place goes nuts. I pull a table up. I get a bottle of tequila. I go, we're doing my whole act together. We sat and drank, and I did my whole act. You know what a woman likes when you go down on her? And it's like, and then I was so murderous. The Cuban guy and this black guy were so fucking funny. I go, when you put your lips around her, and he goes, no. You know what a bitch likes when you go down on her? I go, that you don't call her a bitch? He goes, no, that's not it. It was so. So I got the Zoe Pound, which was the Haitian mafia. I met them doing radio, DJ Laz's show. They were coming in to promote something, and I had just seen them on History Channel's Ganglands. And I was like, wait, Zoe Pound. I go, are you guys the Zoe Pound, the Haitian mafia? And they're like, yeah, and we're on radio. I go, oh, that's so cool. Do you guys want to come to my show tonight? And they're like, okay. And all I did were Haitian jokes. That was it. And they got up on stage with me, but a bottle of tequila. And they're like, he's finishing this shit tonight. And I drank a bottle of tequila on stage with a fucking gang.
Little do they know.
God. Well, that it wasn't my first run-in with organized crime. Yeah. Guys, this is kind of my thing.
Yeah. This ain't my first rodeo. Yeah.
All right, let's watch clip number. Should we go to two, three? Because I know he's. Let's go to four? Okay. We're jumping ahead here. Here's our fourth clip. Here we go. This is.
Yeah.
Seminar? Yeah. Okay, we're going to watch Seminar. Okay.
Seminar.
Here we go. Let's watch Seminar.
Do you ever see the Chelsea Handler sex tape?
Excuse me? Is there a Chelsea?
No. She did it. It was really funny. I think I'm accurate on this. I'm not being disrespectful, but she made a tape for comedy clubs for them to watch, like back in the day. Uh-huh. She was like, I want you to watch my stand-up. And then she put a video of a sex tape, like a mock sex tape of her getting hit, some guy fucking her from behind, and put a clip of it in the thing, thinking like, we'll find out if they watch my fucking tape.
Yeah.
And it was fucking, it's so fucking funny. I thought it was hilarious. And then someone tried to use it like, this is a real Chelsea Handler sex tape, which it kind of, see if you can find it. It kind of looked like it was, but it wasn't.
All right, let's watch Seminar.
Who the fuck is this?
So this is some like.
Okay, here, let's just watch, yeah.
Yeah, we'll watch it and then we'll set it up.
Oh, you're so pretty.
Oh my God.
What's your name?
Wow. Start it over. Yeah, yeah. What the fuck?
His name is Steve Byrne.
That is. Wow.
Yeah, Bobby Lee looks like shit now.
Yeah. He's got his clothes on. It's not funny.
Lady.
Oh my God, that girl's
Asian.
What's
your name? Rachel. Are you with George?
Yeah.
Oh, you should not be with him. You should be with me. I love you long time. Come for the seminar. Man, you're so pretty. Oh, me so horny. Me so horny.
Yo. That kind of
and that needed to happen. That
he
needed to happen.
That.
That'll do it.
It's, by the way, the only thing that's the most upsetting thing is the guy didn't kick his ass with kung fu. Yeah. That would have been great if
he
was
beat
like,
him like a white man.
That my man was wearing glasses.
Fucking.
Yeah. Well, those are the fucking, yeah, like 1942 Coke bottle, you know.
Why is that a stereotype? Did Asian people wear glasses a lot?
I don't know.
Yeah, why,
that was like, always in the Bugs Bunny ones, remember?
There's certain stereotypes that I know they're stereotypes. I know they're offensive, but I don't really understand how they showed up. I would love to get to the etymology, because I know Mickey Rooney wore those glasses in a movie.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So did he put them on, and then that became...
That became
the standard,
yeah,
probably. And then Bugs Bunny,
the
like,
standard.
Apes it from that, you know, and then
how,
like...
How beautiful would it be to be this comedian and be absolutely oblivious... about the world around you.
Yeah.
I mean, he has no clue. Oh, no.
I mean, look at that shot, shot right there.
Yeah.
How you know not to bail after that?
The zen he feels, you know?
God bless Rachel
for allowing
the first part of that joke and going like, he'll pivot.
But he doubled down.
You
would think that when the Asian thing, you'd be like, oh shit, there's Asian, maybe, oh fuck, I should. But he's like, no, we're going all in,
double
motherfuckers.
Down. He didn't just do the accent. He put the glasses on.
And then he fucking pumped.
Yeah, and Steve made a great point. This is where she gives him the Jada look right here. This is her looking at him.
George.
Yeah, this is the exact moment.
I don't normally defend people beating up comedians.
Yeah,
this is the, this actually kind of, you know,
it kind of
like,
feels. Yeah.
You kind of go like, why didn't you do it sooner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what is this guy? This, I would have loved to have been in the green room, be in his opening act, and just, he's like, did you fucking see that? And you're like, oh, yeah, we all saw it.
Oh, yeah.
I think someone was videotaping it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I mean, that fucking.
I mean, think if you're in Miami and you just go blackface.
Yeah.
You say, hey, we're going to bring you guys up on stage. And
but
you
then
just
you're
go
like,
black.
No, I'm just Dominican, though, guys.
Guys, yeah. That is so. Can I see it again?
Yeah.
I mean, he.
They've shown it. Every
I think he yells louder.
So yeah, we're gonna see it every episode.
Just imagine he's the MC on a showcase, and this is like how the night starts. Like this is your jumping off point.
Oh, you're so pretty. What's your name?
Rachel.
Rachel.
Oh, poor Rachel.
Are you with George?
Yeah.
Oh, you should not be with him. You should be with me. I love you long time. Come for the seminar.
See there?
Oh,
there's
so
the look.
Pretty. Oh, me so horny, me so horny.
Wow. George.
Full pony.
Full pony. George, you got one right on the jaw, too.
Yeah,
I think he did. Well, the guy had glasses. He couldn't see a fucking thing coming. The guy's literally blind.
Yeah.
He punched Mr. Magoo.
Mr. Magoo.
I mean, that is insane. I might need to see that every day.
I mean, when that Will Smith thing came out, did you break? I was in a green room and we watched that thing fucking at least 30 times. We thought it was fake at first.
Right,
and
right,
then
right,
I,
right.
Then the minute I realized, no, Chris would have killer lines. And then you scrub back and then you see him go, well, I could. And he bites his lip and then he goes into the documentary. We're all here to, you know, see the thing. That's when I was like, oh, this is all real. Because it took a second. Because
your
dice, it was like my Zubruder film.
You're like going frame by frame trying to figure out if that was real.
Yeah.
And then people are like, you know, he's leaning, but he's kind of like leaning with the shot. It's like, no, I think at the moment he was halfway there, he realized he was getting swung on. Because if you're standing up there telling jokes and doing a bit, Will laughed at the joke first.
Exactly, yeah.
And you're thinking Will's coming up, oh, what's Will going to do? He's going to come up here and do the joke with me. Like, what kind of, how are we going to play off each other here? And then all of a sudden you get Muhammad Ali.
You get bitch slapped.
Did you see Tyson beat that guy up on the plane?
Dude.
Yes.
I just watched that on
the
floor.
That's what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
But he was like heckling Tyson or something, right? Why the fuck would you heckle Tyson?
What's the scoop on this?
He was like out of his mind. He was like, whether drunk, on drugs, whatever, just heckling Tyson. Because in our group chat, we were all kind of just bantering back and forth. Like somebody made the comment, like white dudes have the most courage when they're drunk.
Yeah, man. We I looked at Steve. I was like, right, Steve? And you're like, oh, I'll take this one. Wait, how woke is a locker room?
What do you mean?
Like, I mean, I would imagine, like with comics, anything flies. You can say The most, if you're with comics, you can say the most offensive thing. No one will take offense. I mean, like, at all.
Oh, bro, an NFL locker room is just a melting pot of different cultures. Like, everyone's joking on each other.
Everybody's talking shit. Yeah.
Everybody's saying
light black, dark black.
Yeah.
Just
a
melting pot. Yeah. A field goal kicker.
Yeah. White guy. Yeah. White. Parentheses, white.
A couple Samoans to pick off some interceptions.
White, black.
Light brown, dark brown. High yellow.
Just everybody stand in, like, a shade so you create, like, a vignette of colors.
But no, jokes are flying all the time every day.
Oh, that's good to
hear. That's I one of the hardest I've ever laughed is
thank you.
Thanks to you. Yeah. Yeah. There's a guy who I think he's famous, and I apologize, I'm afraid to say his name cuz I don't know it. So I think he's famous. I think he's a big MMA commentator. So he rescued one of Michael Vick's.
Rogan?
No. He rescued one of Michael Vick's dogs. Right?
Yeah.
And so then he organized the protest of Michael Vick coming back to the NFL.
Right.
So him and 100 people, Michael Vick's first game, stood outside the bus before they left, and they had signs going like, and they were chanting. And I just couldn't stop giggling. I'm not saying this right. I couldn't stop giggling at what the inside of that bus must have felt like. The only person that was like, I wonder what those signs say, must have been the place kicker who gets in no trouble. He's like, what do you think they're protesting, guys? Everyone on that thing's like, I don't know, man. Don't look. Everyone's like, don't fucking look. I don't know. It's got to be something. I did something. And he's like, hey, Mike, do you think it's about you? He's like, yeah, I'm sure it is. What year was that clip done?
With the Michael. Coming to my seminar or Mike Tyson?
Oh, no, the seminar. I think that's old. That's got to be at least 8 or 10 years old.
Well, it's got to be when the guy's recording on a cell phone. So it's like probably, you know, at least 2010.
I remember a dude we both know who had a joke about, and he would do the Asian accent. He was like, yeah, I'm not even going to say it because I don't want to get the guy in trouble because I know it's like, but I remember him doing it and me pulling him aside and being like, hey, man, you definitely can't do that. And he was like, what do you mean? This guy's laughs. And I go, yeah, but it's... You just please don't do that. Don't ever do that again. But people have had to say that to me because you'll have a joke, and if it gets a laugh, in a weird way, you disconnect, and you're like, great, we got one. All right, keep going. And then you do it, and you don't realize how aggressive. I had a joke about that I thought was really funny.
Yeah.
About if it's funny that if you go on a date with someone, you go out to the movies, you go dancing, you have drinks, you go to dinner. It's none of the shit you do when you're married. It's almost like if you're shopping for a car and you go and you put your dick in the gas tank, you're like, it fits, I'll take it. And you go, if you want to find out if you're compatible with a couple, you and her should go out one day, first date, adopt a dog, take it out to the woods, then murder that dog. If you can drive home together and not fight, then you're meant to be together. And I didn't realize how many people do not like the idea of a couple killing a dog. Like,
you would be shocked.
You'd be shocked. Everyone disliked the idea of murdering an animal. And I just was like,
Bert's the biggest comic in China.
Yeah. You know that? But you don't even realize it's bad because you go, it gets a laugh. And they're like, no, that's a groan. You know, groans are the same.
Yeah.
Comedy adjacent, right?
Yeah. That's one you just got to know your audience, right? They must have been like a room full of white people.
And
like white people cry over dead animals more than
anybody.
I feel like any race, right?
Yeah. Well, I think white people definitely.
More than humans dying.
Don't get fucking my family started. My girls, it's animals first, then people.
Really?
Oh, my daughters? Oh, bro, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, it's like the UFC organizer. It's like, dude, you watch guys fight each other in cages. Like, but dogs can't do it. You know what I mean? Probably white guy, right?
Yeah.
Probably. That's white guy energy.
Yeah. I've never seen it. Have you guys ever seen a dog fight?
Never.
No, but I've heard like a couple teammates talk about dog fighting. Yeah. And it's super uncomfortable.
It's super uncomfortable. Especially when you're around someone who green lights it and they're like, hey, nothing but a dog fight. And you're like,
yeah, you're gonna sit there like, oh, fuck, am I a bitch, dude?
Yeah, like I could. Yeah. Hey, what's wrong with me that I couldn't watch a dog fight?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's a cultural experience, you know.
I'm go to the place, kick your head, it's fucked up, right? Like,
yeah. Well, let's watch this Tyson clip here.
This is George talking to Mike Tyson, bro. This shit crazy, bro. Mike Tyson.
Is that Rocky Dale Davis?
No, got lit, man. He'll be here rapping with Tyson.
Oh, my
Mike
God.
Mike Tyson trying to give us some shrooms.
Oh, he's right. You're right. He's trying to give him shrooms.
You don't know how to act. Tyson looking out, man. This shit crazy as fuck.
He should have never gave you his money.
Oh, shit.
What did he say?
They should have never gave you N-words money. It's the Chappelle Show thing.
JetBlue, mid flight.
Oh, this is after he got
beat up by Mike Tyson. Turn that way. Yeah, he got fucked up. Just trying to ask for an autograph, man.
No.
Right here.
Oh,
fuck. Hey, Mike, come on.
Oh, like, subscribe. God. Animal compilation.
I got on a flight one time.
Galaxy.
I got on a flight from Edmonton to Phoenix, and I was fucking wasted. And it's 8 in the morning.
But don't you need,
Yeah. You've seen it. The first time I ever traveled with Steve, we got in the car and I had a 12-pack of Heineken, and I killed about 8 of them on the ride to the airport. It was a long ride to the airport.
And my wife was with us, and she goes, "Is this normal?" And I go, yeah, it is. You're starting to see what it's like.
And so I'm wasted, right? And I probably didn't sleep the night before. Bar opens at like 6 in Edmonton. I get there early, have a bunch of cocktails. I have a steel, it's a Rimowa travel case, steel. I go to get on, and as I walk onto the airplane, and there's a weird energy. I'm sitting in first class. I go to put my steel briefcase into the thing, and it slides, and it lands on a dude's face.
Oh, shit. Oh.
It breaks his glasses and breaks his nose.
Oh no.
And he loses his shit on the flight attendant.
What?
He goes, "This is your fault, you fucking cunt. This is your fault. You set this up. And I'm like, I'm fucking wasted. So I'm like, I go, no, I did it. I definitely did it. And he goes, no. And he starts losing his fucking mind. No one can afford these glasses. Now it's Canada. Now the thing in Canada, all comic knows, great merch sales, but you get it in loonies or toonies, whatever the fuck money is.
Loonies, yeah.
Yeah. So you have you're gonna walk away with $7,000 in toonies, right? In your pocket, you have $7,000 in cash from selling shirts.
Yeah, Monopoly money. You're right.
God damn it! Fuck! And they shut the doors, and he's losing his mind, and I'm hearing him, so I'm in front of him, and he goes, "No one can afford these glasses on this plane." And I turn around, and I go, "Sir, we're both sitting in first class." I go, "It's my fault. I apologize. Please let me pay for your glasses." And he goes, "You can't afford it." And I said, "Let me try. Give me a price." And he goes, $2,000. And I pull out $7,000 and I peel off two. Everyone in first class is like, "Who the fuck is this guy?" I peel off two. I give him an extra $500. I go, "This is for your troubles. I sincerely apologize." The energy's shifted now, right? I go up to take a piss.
20,000 feet in the air. "All right, you ready, motherfucker? Are you ready, you son of a bitch? Get some more pints."
This guy's got 10,000 poony toonies.
I go to take a piss, and the flight attendant gives me a double Jack on the rocks, and she goes, "We've been having a problem with this guy since the second he got on the plane, and you giving him money is the first time he shut up. Thank you." And I was like, "Okay." So I sit back down. The guy comes up. His nose is fucking broken. And he's like, "Sorry," whatever. He's like, "They're not $1,200. They're not $2,000 glasses." And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "They're not $2,000 glasses. They're $500. And I went, "Okay." And he gives me my money back, and he keeps $500. Nice. I go, "All right." So we land. Cops walk onto the plane, like, "I am fucking dead." They grab this dude and they pull him off the fucking plane.
Ooh.
He got his nose broken by me. I broke his glasses. I mean, I did all of it. And they grabbed this guy and they pull him off the fucking plane. And I'm just like, "Huh?" Do you ever see like a great white shark swim by someone and they're like, "Huh?" I was like, "Fuck him, man." Yeah. Karma, bitch.
God damn. Well, we always have our last, let's see what's happening. Hold on. This is our last clip. We always show one clip. It's one of us on the panel. I don't know who it is. I never know who it is. And it is, it's a clip of Bert. All right, we're going to watch a clip of Bert.
I wish I knew Will was going to be here. We could get like he flubbed a kick or something.
Yeah. All right. Let's watch Kreischer.
Just a football player or something. Me covering a punt.
Yeah. All right, hit pause. I already fucking hate this.
This is an early one, huh?
Oh, I already fucking hate this.
Young Bert, dude.
This is Young Bert. And this is the reason I don't wear shirts. This is the reason I don't wear shirts on stage. If you see, it's all soaking wet right here.
Now, were you an alcoholic back then? Like, how has your alcohol changed over the years?
I wasn't.
Let me field this.
Yeah, please.
Oh.
Yeah, how's your alcoholism changed?
Absolutely.
Over
the defense rests, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
I was wearing bracelets. All right.
In here?
I like to watch that.
Did you know?
I just found this out. Now, look, I'm being honest right now.
I can do this.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Hit pause. Listen to how high my voice is.
Oh, yeah. You can hear how young you are here.
All right, guys, I'm being honest right now. By the way, I'm going to tell you this. I wrote this joke with Dr. Ken. It's the first time I wrote the beginning of this joke, and the second part of the joke I wrote with Steve.
No shit.
Yeah.
And the act out is Bobby. So.
Sometimes when white people are honest, it sounds like racism, but...
Jesus, look how skinny I am. Wait, what is this?
Just kidding. I just found this out. Now, this is just for the white people, the Mexicans, and the one black guy, okay?
What am I, Ralphie May? So,
Asians, don't answer this.
Did you know?
This is true. And tell me if you knew this. Be serious. Be honest. Did you know that Japanese people cannot understand Chinese people?
At all.
Did you know that? You knew that? I didn't know that. I swear on my children, I thought it was a little bit like Italian and Spanish, you know, like pantalones, pantaloni. Or like accents like South Carolina and Georgia, you know, like, how y'all doing? And then squeal like a pig, boy. Like,
I like New York and Boston better.
I swear to you, I'm at an airport, right? And there's this Korean dude, and this Korean guy is losing his mind in Korean. Now, I don't want to do a stereotypical Asian accent, but I have to. To impress to you how serious this moment is, okay? And I don't know Korean, but this guy's at the front of the security line, and he's going like this. Now, let me tell you something. If you ever see a man of color screaming in his native tongue, you run. Because that means that something's going on so real, he doesn't have time to translate. Right. Like, I know a little Spanish, but if I fall into a tank of sharks in Mexico, I'm not going to be all, ¿Dónde está?
I have makeup
on. I'm screaming my native, help! I don't want to die! So that's what this Korean guy is doing, right? He's going like, everybody, quick, run, Godzilla, I have the bird flu.
Bird flu.
I don't know what he's saying.
Wow. That's Dodley, huh? Help, I have a bat in my bag.
Yeah. Turn around, wham. I bump into
another Asian dude.
Which may not seem weird to you guys, but I was in Iowa, okay?
It was back when Asians weren't everywhere.
Two midgets in one day that don't know each other. This doesn't happen. I'm being serious. So I look at this guy and I go, what's he saying? And very politely, like, I'm sure you've been in this situation, he goes, oh, gee, I don't know. Because I'm not Korean! But I didn't know there were different languages, so I just kept staring at him like, I didn't ask what you are. What's he saying?
Kind of.
He's like, I don't know, I'm Japanese! I'm like, calm down, buddy. It's not like you're wearing a Rising Sun bandana. Covered in Hello Kitty, then I'd know.
Jesus.
What's he saying? Kind of. Your word for bird or Godzilla. Did you hear the root of that in there at all?
The root.
It was an awkward situation, to say the least. But now we know, right? So that mistake will never happen to you guys. And that's how you beat racism, I think. I don't know.
That joke I wrote. What's the matter? I thought you were saying tornado outside.
Oh yeah, that happens sometimes.
I wrote that joke. I was at the Ontario Improv with Dr. Ken, and we were in the green room, and there were two Asian, older Asian people fighting with the bouncer and it was Japanese. I didn't know that. And I said to Dr. Ken, I think your parents are trying to get in. And he went, those aren't my parents. But they were. It was like, you know, the hallway in the Ontario Improv? And then, so it was like at the end of the hallway, and they're fighting with a bouncer. And I just assumed two older Asian people, if they're in the hallway, they must know. And so I go, I think your parents are trying to get in. And he goes out, and he goes, those aren't my parents. And
your ancestors are here.
I said, oh, okay. And I said, what are they saying? And he goes, I don't know. And I said, well, what are they saying? And he goes, I don't kind of fucking know.
And the good news is he's not friends with Ken, but he got five minutes out of it.
Yeah. And so. So I went on stage that night and I just said very candidly, I go, did you guys know that Japanese people can't understand Chinese people at all? And everyone started laughing. And I was like, is that it? Did you guys know that? And then everyone knew it. I didn't grow up in like a very diverse culture, so I didn't know that. I also didn't know that about the Middle East. That's why they have so many problems in the Middle East. No one speaks the same fucking language over there. No one. Right. I thought it was like one language and then it was all accents off of it. So then I'm in an airport with Steve. We're in fucking Iowa. And we're going through, and there's an Asian guy at the front. And I'm like, I said to Steve, I go, what's he saying? And Steve goes, I don't know. And I go, what kind of, what's he saying? And Steve goes, I don't kind of know, because I'm not kind of Japanese, Bert. And he goes, I don't even speak Korean, Bert, okay? That was a big stretch of my career where I loved talking about race. I loved it. It was my favorite thing.
There was a period of time where I felt like you were the go-to because you were fucking fearless.
I loved it because I thought it was like a great way. Then it was like, then all of a sudden, I'm so glad I kind of pivoted out of that, because I guess now I just talk about my fucking kids and them being stupid. Some guy was like, I said something the other day and he was like, hey man, I don't want to hear your take on politics. I didn't even have a take on politics. He's like, just talk about your stupid fucking kids. And I was like, oh, easy, Jesus buddy. Christ. It's like, I feel like you're the porn director going, just suck the cock, whore. Suck it.
They can't even see yet.
When did you start Jesus to pivot Christ from the racial humor?
During the machine. When I started learning how to tell the machine story, I found that I liked telling stories. Like, I could break down the next clip. What is that? 4 minutes? That's a 2 minute clip. It should be a 2 minute clip. I take so much time. It was a Dane Cook thing. Dane took time with bits. And I think a lot of us borrowed from that concept of not getting to the joke and playing around inside the joke was part of the fun of the joke. But I started telling the machine story. It's a 13 minute story that is 13 minutes. And I started realizing, oh, I can sizzle a lot of shit down. And I didn't think my strong suit was race. I never really had a good perspective of it. I kind of had like blind spots of
certain
things.
But that's what made it fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, it's like naive kind of like mindset and just like just you on stage too. You're bringing such a bright cadence, you know, to it. So it's kind of like, oh, he gets a pass. I was very
naive to everything, and I loved learning. And so I would take things. It's like Miami. That's why I love Miami. Is I bring two dudes of color on stage and kind of be fearless, but at the same time, it's like, it's also, whatever rose-colored glasses you look through while I watch it, you can either be offended or love it.
Right.
Like, I had a joke one time that got protested in Dayton, and the joke was,
I love Michael Vick.
By the way, the guy's a fucking human highlight reel, okay? Oh. Have you ever seen?
Incredible.
The guy's fucking.
He changed the game.
Incredible.
I mean,
he really did. Let's be real.
Let's keep it real.
That was the big fight on the cabin that we had to edit out was Miss Pat and Kaylee Cuoco was Michael Vick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Miss Pat wears Michael Vick jerseys to Atlanta to the games.
Yeah.
She wears a Michael Vick jersey to this day. Call Miss Pat. Who's your favorite player ever? Michael Vick. Michael Vick.
Yeah.
And
does she get booed going into the stadium? Like, I feel like that's like
no.
I was going to say.
In Atlanta?
Yeah. People don't understand. White women don't understand what that era was for people in Atlanta.
And white women also don't understand. This is why I don't talk about race on stage, because what I'm about to say is probably the most ignorant thing you're ever going to hear.
We pivoted back into
white,
it, yeah.
What white women don't understand at times is that the Michael Vick story is larger than dogfighting to the African American culture.
Yes. Yes.
It is more about redemption, because white women refused to give him let him pay his toll to society.
Yes. Yeah.
He went to prison. He did his time. He did more time than anyone that has ever done that crime has done.
Right.
He had the books thrown at him, And then when he came back, he lost everything. His kids couldn't have a dog. I mean, look, he did horrific things, but they wouldn't forgive him.
Right.
Yeah. And for Miss Pat, someone who spent time in prison and sold drugs and committed felonies and shot a man, and done all the things.
Sure.
She then hears, I know that you would never forgive me. Like, and that, so we had that conversation on the cabin. It went so poorly. You have no idea. And we had to edit out the majority of it.
That's the episode I'd love to see.
And
dude,
it was, because it was so fucking bad. It was so bad.
Not only that, I'd love to see you squirming in a cabin. I wasn't in a squirming.
I was drunk. I was
like,
drunk and I was
on gummies like, Mom, I want to get the fuck out of here.
I was drunk and I couldn't stop laughing because it was so bad. It was so bad. And Kaylee would just say something very like, you know, like, she said, I think he's an animal. And
you can't say that.
And it was like, it was just, everything was, and I, Joel McHale and I were just getting drunk, laughing hysterically, going like, this couldn't be worse. And we edited it all out. And by the way, probably edited out Miss Kelly
Cuoco. That part
Kelly
right Cuoco, there. We'll that out.
Whatever Kelly Cuoco, I don't want to fucking get that lady in trouble. But that, I mean, that the idea, the complexity of that conversation for me is so intriguing. I find it so fascinating. And then when I started doing this, I started realizing, I could just tell like a good story arc, a few good ending. And I was like, I don't need to. And also the one joke I had that got protested in Dayton was, do you want to hear something really racist? And that's all the woman heard. She walked out and was like, I'm done. And it was a black woman. But the joke was, they don't make baby powder for black people. It's all white. If you're, you know, it blends in. Look, all the white guys are like, what? They can't use our shit? No, because if they put our shit in, all of a sudden they got to ghost ride the whip. Like, when we put it in, it blends
ghost
in.
Ghost ride the whip.
Yeah. If you're a white guy, by the way, even telling these jokes now that I'm not, that I go, even now I get nervous going, like, how to take it out of context. But, but I go, they should make black baby powder. Call it Magic Johnson & Johnson's. And even still, you could find that joke offensive. And
now
I was
it's
like,
a vaccine
it's
issue.
It's not fucking worth it. I'd rather just call my wife a whore and my kids idiots.
Right.
And then just be like,
yeah.
And they're cool with it. And then, then they're not. Then they're not. Then they got to go to college. And
the Magic Johnson and Johnson's.
I had some really good ones back in the day. But I fucking.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was with Segura. We were in the back and I told him, I said, hey, man, try this as a premise. And it was fucking aggressive. And his eyes, because that's the comedy he loves doing, is that like push the button, I don't give a fuck, fuck you. And I told him one premise and his eyes lit up. And he got into a fee, he goes, can I use that? And I went, yeah. And he went on stage like a baby with a brand new toy.
Yeah.
And he's so masterful because he does not give a fuck.
Yeah.
He does. If he upsets you, that makes him happy.
Like, I loved when he said the alopecia joke the night of the Will Smith thing.
Yeah.
He's my business partner, and he fucking burns it to the ground every chance he gets. He told Louisiana that they were garbage people and they should build a wall around them to keep them away from us. And then he sold two arenas in Louisiana.
And they love it.
They love it.
They love it.
It's like they fucking love the torture. And we were like, well, whatever. I get nervous. I don't like playing with a fire like that. That's why when I watch a clip like this, first of all, I go, I'm wearing makeup. I'm wearing a shirt. I'm sweating. Like, all the things that reek, my voice is high.
Right.
I'm taking way too long with the bit. Get to the fucking bit.
You're wearing black.
As soon as I take my shirt off, I don't sweat on stage.
That's great. All right, go.
Look, Kreischer, thank you so much.
It's been a blast.
Thank you so much.
Fun.
Congratulations. Keep crushing it. Will, thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you guys.
Catch them on Bus with the Boys. Chance,
thanks,
the crew.
Appreciate
thank you guys
boys.
Very
good
much.
Shit.
Comedy Pinata. Subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. Thank you, boys, very much.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. All right.